Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about several subjects today that I believe is vital for us to understand, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots in America. We're talking with Congressman Mike Hill, former representative for District 1 in the state of Florida, House of Representatives. We're delighted that he's joined us. Congressman Hill, we were talking just before the break about going into the subject of the prosecution, the persecution of President Trump by a Manhattan district attorney. By the way, let me remind our listeners that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. If you'd like to jump into the dialogue and discussion or ask a question, we'd love to have your question or comment on the subject we're talking about today. In general, we're talking about understanding the times. I believe the times that we're living in are biblical times. We're watching the signs come about that's spoken of in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the signs of the times before the last of the last days, of which I believe we're living in today. But Congressman, let me ask you a question. I'm looking at a headline. Who is Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, threatening to arrest President Trump? Who exactly is the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, who's making that threat against the president, former president? One of a slew of Soros DAs, prosecutors whose election campaigns have been bankrolled by the billionaire. In fact, Alvin Bragg, the DA in Manhattan, received in 2021 in his campaign $1.1 million from George Soros, one of George Soros's PACs, one of his organizations. Congressman Hill, my question is this, answering the question, tell us who is Alvin Bragg, the DA, and tell us what you think his motivation is. Why is he persecuting and prosecuting Trump? What's the motivation behind it? What is the end result that he hopes to get?
Youngblood, first of all, I think Mr. Bragg is nothing more than a political hack. I would call him a slug. And also, he's not very smart. And because he is being used by the left, by George Soros, by the Biden administration to go after Donald Trump. And I'm not sure if he recognizes that he's being used, but he was dumb enough to step forward and bring about these accusations, which are ludicrous, to try to arrest President Trump, which is nothing more than a continuation of how the left has gone after him from the very beginning, starting with the Russian collusion, with the whole Russia hoax and the FISA warrant, all the way through when he was president. Stealing the election, all of this is a continuation of that. And for this guy to be dumb enough to be a part of it, he and this Letitia Adams, who is also out of New York, that they were chosen specifically
yes.
to go after President Trump. And how do we know that? Because they don't do their job in other areas. Those criminals who actually should be prosecuted, they don't. Or they let them off with very lenient penalties or sentences. And so they don't do their job in those areas, but they are going after Trump. And that's they were put in office specifically to do that, and that's what they're doing. And so instead of doing his job, fulfilling his oath of office, he is allowing money to control him. And that is one of the most despicable people to be in office that you can have. He and a lot of the other leftists, such as Adam Schiff and Swalwell and almost everyone in Joe Biden's cabinet are all like that. They are being controlled by money instead of morals and their oath of office.
Congressman Hill, I have watched some of what I call the socialist, Marxist, Communist Network news programs and anchors, and they're all just gleeful. They're just salivating over the fact that we'll get to see, one of them said, we'll get to see Trump in handcuffs and an orange suit. There's a mindset between those that are the talking heads on the left that seem to have the idea that if we can just get a snapshot, a photograph of President Trump being arrested, of President Trump being in handcuffs, that we can destroy his life, destroy his future, and prevent him from running for president. Isn't it true that even if they indict him, that he still's qualified to run for president? Isn't it true that he could not be prevented? And also, I could tack to that, wouldn't it be a fair statement to say all of this is being done to try to prevent him, that is Donald Trump, from running in 2024 for the president of the United States of America?
Absolutely, Dr. Youngblood. It does not prevent him from running for office. They tried that with that fake January 6th committee by calling the events that happened on January 6th an insurrection. And they were trying to get enough people to testify, which they never could do because it wasn't true, to testify that they were a part of an insurrection. And we have political prisoners right now who are in Washington, D.C. jails, sitting there because of this whole thing to call January 6th an insurrection, which it was not, but they're doing that because that is a disqualifier to run for president. Someone who has been convicted of an insurrection towards the United States is not eligible to run for president. So that's what they were trying to do, and it failed. It failed miserably. So even though that has failed, as you say, all they want is that picture of President Trump in handcuffs. That's all they want. It's surrounded by law enforcement and in handcuffs so that when he does run again in 2024, that they can show that enough times and to be able to convince enough people to not vote for him, which I don't think it'll work. I think it will backfire on them because too many Americans are aware of what's going on. So the question becomes, why on earth are they so adamant to stop President Trump from running for office? And the reason being is because President Trump did what is called the America First agenda.
Yes.
He was on the brink of economically destroying China. And China knew it on several fronts, not just with tariffs, but with our whole banking system. Oh, by the way, the Communist Chinese Party was heavily involved in Silicon Valley Bank.
Yes.
And now we have our government bailing them out. Because they said, oh, we're not going to save the bank, but we're going to make sure all depositors are made whole. Well, Communist China parties were part of those who were involved in Silicon Valley Bank. So they're going to use taxpayer dollars to bail out the Communist Chinese Party. President Trump would not let something like that happen. And they knew it. And that's why they want to stopped him from getting in again because he was on the brink of making America a great nation like it was before, a nation that is not dependent upon the globalist agenda to have a one-world government. They had to bring down America because we're too strong. We don't need their government. We have our own. So they had to weaken us to make us join this one-world government. And they saw that President Trump was not on board with that. And in fact, he was encouraging other nations to not do it, such as Italy and Britain and even some South American countries, Brazil, to not get involved with this. And so because he is stopping their plans so effectively, they're afraid that should he get elected again, he will continue that and be even more successful.
So what you're saying in short is that the battle of prosecution and persecution of Trump is for the end goal of preventing him from being president in the election for 2024, to prevent him continuing to drain the swamp. I'm looking at an article, Congressman Hill. It says, Dershowitz, colon, Manhattan DA using made-up laws in Trump case. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg reported impending prosecution of former President Donald J. Trump is based on made-up laws, according to a prominent legal expert, Alan Dershowitz. Dershowitz goes on to say, nobody should ever be arrested based on made-up laws or combining a federal and state statute. Dershowitz told the Epoch Times in an interview March the 18th, quote, I taught criminal law for 50 years at Harvard, and one rule was no creativity is permitted in prosecution with any prosecutor. The law has to be very, very clear, end quote. And I understand from Dershowitz's article that some of these things had been brought up, and even the Department of Justice refused to do any prosecution, said it was not a case. So here is a local, one borough, Manhattan, that has the DA that was bought and paid for by George Soros with the idea of crushing, being used as the cudgel to crush Trump. And in doing so, the mindset is we can some way wound him and prevent him from being elected as president. But yet the same material that he's trying to prosecute on has already been rejected. After all, there's a 2-year time limit limitation in there, and this has been almost 7 years, and still he's trying to go forward with the prosecution. There's Alan Dershowitz that is not a conservative. In fact, he is a Clintonite background, a Democratic Party, but he is honorable enough to take a stand on constitutional law, and he says this is unconstitutional. It is wrong. It's illegal. It is using the law. In fact, he calls it a made-up law in order to do the prosecution. So my question is, if the name were Clinton, Hillary Clinton, if the name were to be Joe Biden, Jim Biden, Hunter Biden, would this prosecution be taking place?
No, no, not at all. And in fact, we didn't have to make up a law in order to prosecute Hillary Clinton for what she did when she had her own private server at her home, unsecured server with classified information on it, where she had phones, handheld phones with classified information on it, which she destroyed. That's breaking the law right there. You don't have to make up laws to prosecute them. With Hunter Biden and Joe Biden doing these background deals with the Communist Chinese Party and with Ukraine, it clearly illegal. But we have this district attorney who is in New York, who is not, as Dershowitz says, not even following the law. He's making up the law, which is completely illegal. And he doesn't care, because all they want is that photo shoot of President Trump being arrested and in handcuffs. Mm-hmm. But I think they see enough of a backlash right now, of that backfiring, because someone leaked to President Trump that he was going to be arrested. And Trump was smart enough to broadcast that. Worldwide, they're going to come and arrest me. Everybody says, what? You know, and so there was actually even a rally in New York, I think Monday afternoon, where thousands of people showed up in support of Trump. So I think Bragg is actually backing off at this time because he can see that it will do more harm than what they were trying to do to make Trump look bad.
Even Governor Ron DeSantis, I was thankful for his position when in an interview with one of the commentators on Fox was asked about that. And Ron DeSantis came to his defense and said what they are doing is wrong, what they're doing should not take place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was thankful for that. In saying that, before we take our caller, I'm saying that Ron DeSantis, I'm praying that he does not put his name in the hat for president. I don't want to see DeSantis and Trump eviscerating each other. I think DeSantis needs to remain in the position of governor, of which he's doing a super job in our state, as you know, and I think we both agree on that, that he needs to stay in and wait until the 2028 election, which would be a clean cycle for him to get into the president's race, because right now, his numbers, based on all of the evidence that's gathered and some of the surveys done, Ron DeSantis, if he were designated or if he had jumped into the race as a candidate, he's at about 24%. And former President Trump is at about 52 to 54%. In fact, I'm told, one of the articles that I read this morning, that if he is in fact indicted, that is President Trump, if President Trump is in fact indicted, that his rating will probably jump to over 70%. That what they're doing, as you said, Congressman, is backfiring on them. It will absolutely ensure, guarantee, that Trump will be the lead candidate for the 2024 presidential election. Congressman, hold on a minute. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Brother Davis, how are you today?
Doing well. I pray that you are.
Real good, real good. Congressman Hill has pretty much already, you know, touched on the comment that I was about to make concerning Hillary Clinton. So, I mean, I don't have to elaborate on that any further. I just have to wonder, you know, why, you know, at this point in time, I mean, that they're trying to prosecute President Trump like they are. And Hillary Clinton committed, I mean, an open crime before, I mean, the whole world, basically, you know, those that know the position that she served in and the, you know, the criteria surrounding, you know, a person holding a position like that, you know, what they can do and cannot do. And she ended up doing, you know, exactly what she wasn't supposed to do by destroying, you know, government property the way that she did. Yes, she never was indicted, nor fingerprinted, nor threatened, nor anything. I mean, just swept out of the back door. So at this point, I'm wondering if President Trump has regretted not having her locked up while he had a chance.
That's a good question, Congressman. I'll bounce that over to you.
Well, I agree, Pastor Davis, and thank you for calling in, that Trump should have done something to Hillary when he had the opportunity. But then, you know, he may have been thinking about it and said, if I do, that may make her more popular, mm-hmm. that would cause those on a radical left to rise up and come in her defense. And so maybe he was being wise in saying that waiting his time, perhaps to get her at a later time, perhaps in his second term. And I do agree with you, Dr. Youngblood, that Governor DeSantis is doing a fantastic job in Florida, and I hope he finishes his term in Florida as governor and not run against President Trump. Being governor of Florida is, and being a good one, he's one of the best governors we have in the U.S. right now,
yes,
is one level. But being president of the United States is an entirely different level.
Yes.
When you're at that position, you're talking an international job. And you can't do on-the-job training to learn how to do that. We saw that disaster with Obama when he came in, what on-the-job training is doing to our nation, the harm it can do. So I think that Governor DeSantis should finish his term. And then at that time, it would be, 2026, he can then get on President Trump's team in some kind of way, maybe a cabinet position or whatever, and start learning what it means to be a president. And then perhaps come on board in 2028. Those are my thoughts. So we're in agreement on that, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes. Pastor Davis, thank you so much for your call and for your input. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go over the question or comment, please.
Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood and Congressman Hill. I share your sentiments, both of you, but you're especially, you know, we are Governor DeSantis. I have been thinking about it, praying about it all along. I think that we have the pushing him to jump into this race against Trump, as it were, is largely by Rhinos, I think, so, who are not concerned about dividing the conservatives when we should be united to fight the forces of evil that we've come upon. America, I agree, we are rich, very rich because of the carelessness in America to allow things that they should never allow. And, of course, the church, the so-called church, really, because the true church is here, but we are told that it's small and straight and narrow is the way and few. But the so-called church, the broad way to destruction, if the church had maintained its stand and its position, in other words, the church has played its part tremendously in bringing things to where it is, with the powers of darkness taking
yes.
over and the forces of
Lily, you're exactly yes, right. Yes, and if I can jump in yes, for a moment, Lily,
yes,
recently
yes,
on Tucker Carlson, he asked the question, why is the church silent? Why is the church silent? Why aren't pastors standing up? Why aren't church leaders standing up? Why aren't church members standing up and speaking out against what we see happening today in the demoralization, the destruction, and the denigration, and the devolution that's taking place in the morals, ethics, and values in our nation? So, Lily, you're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your call and for your input. And as I say quite often, keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much.
One more little point, Dr. Youngblood.
Okay, go right ahead.
I think we reach where we're going to have we have fixed elections dealing with it already. Fixed elections, and we see the control coming on, the collapsing of the economy. It's planned, and it's just there. And of course, we have the two leaders, of the Communist Bloc, celebrating right now in Russia, Chinese, and coming together, united, and celebrating the downfall of America. So we need to look to God. Thank God he's on the throne, and he has the last word.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well stated, Lily. Thank you so much, and God bless you for your call, for your input. Congressman, we've got just a few minutes left on the broadcast, and I want to make a transition, and Lily touched on that. What's happening in Russia and China? What do you see as the intent? Let me lay the foundation for the question. We see where North Korea is in alliance with China. They always have been. We see where China has made alliances with Saudi Arabia, alliances with Iran, alliances with Syria, and now alliances with Russia. Where do you see this going, and what should Christians think, say, or believe in relationship to the future of America when we see these alliances taking place?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I want to thank Miss Lily for calling in and bringing the church into the conversation, because
yes,
the church definitely should be part of this entire conversation.
That's right.
First of all, we talk about this alliance with Russia and China. I don't believe it. I think that's fake. Russia and China have never been allies. From the beginning, they have very long histories, centuries old, thousands of years old, and they have never formed an alliance. Now, China for a brief period, was allies with Russia when Russia deported communism into China, and China accepted communism because they saw that as a way of power and controlling the people and money. So they were allies for a brief period of time just to learn how communism should work. But this idea that now Russia and China are going to form some kind of permanent or strong alliance, I think is not real, that they are simply looking towards each other as a way of potentially hurting the United States, the great power that we are, but they are not going to be long-term allies because their cultures are so different and against everything that they believe deep down within their cultures. But the church is what needs to become, as Ms. Lilly said, more vocal. Mm-hmm. And we're not just talking about the pastors of the churches. We're talking about the members of the church. The body of the living God needs to show up, continue to show up at these school board meetings, at these elections. Go out and vote to get the right people in office, people who do have a moral fiber, who do regard the living God as their savior. That's who we need to get in office. I don't want to hear this nonsense about we don't need Christianity in office, that we don't need it. Yes, we do, because if we're not there, then the other side is there, and we see the disaster that we're in now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Congressman Hill, I'm glad you touched on that. And the article I alluded to earlier with Lily on the line, headline says, "Where is the Christian church in all of this?" Recently on Tucker Carlson, focused the nation's attention upon the notable silence of American Christian leaders on the Biden administration's persecution and prosecution of Christians. Where are all the professional Christians? You have to wonder, where are all of these people who should be defending Christianity as actual Christians are being arrested, are being persecuted and prosecuted? And he goes on to talk about church leaders cannot ignore that we have a government that is intent upon destroying parental rights, while at the same time, it's rewriting our history. It's obliterating the record of America's original Judeo-Christian foundation. It's encouraging young people to question their gender, endorsing the mutilation of their genitals, inviting transvestites to their schools to twerk in their faces, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So with that being said, there's a statement that was made by a sports person, a wrestler, Aaron Brooks. Tell us about that briefly. We've got just a few seconds.
Yes, that was awesome, Dr. Youngblood. Aaron Brooks was a wrestler for Penn State University, won the national championship, and was being interviewed by the sportscaster there and said, "What do you attribute to your victory?" And he said, "Jesus Christ." And the interviewer kept trying to take him away from that, saying, "No, really, was it your hard work? What?" And he kept going back to, "I give everything to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior." And that was such an awesome moment. And more people need to follow that lead. The more the church is prosecuted, the more it grows. History has shown us that.
Absolutely. That's a good note to end on. Congressman Hill, thank you for joining us today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you once again on the air as we face the issues.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FC.